Bentley doesn't want you working on the cars, so they won't sell you parts. So they super gatekeep all the parts.
Okay.
And the parts you're buying the car for are still
$200,000
car, and the parts are in relation to that price, not its depreciated price.
Mm-hmm.
So you get hammered on some stuff.
That's insane. Last week's topic did a very good job.
Getting you roasted.
Didn't get me roasted. How did you get me roasted? 90% of people agreed with me.
No, that's not true.
Who disagreed with me?
Multiple people disagreed with you.
Oh, a handful.
The proof is on the Instagram. No.
Saying that they're overpriced.
Oh, my God.
That's only you, because you like to buy cheap.
They're not overpriced.
They are totally overpriced.
You honestly believe that any of those people that commented had actually ever owned a Porsche?
But you don't need to own a Porsche to think that it's overpriced, though.
No, you do.
You do not.
You need to have experienced it. Based on fact.
No, like it driving, like yes.
Owning.
No, but multiple people in that list have driven it.
Like eating at McDonald's every day and saying steak is overpriced.
Some people had driven them.
Show me one. Oh, the guy that called me a clown? Yeah, and what happened? His driving experience is from the passenger seat.
No, but he's driven multiple
sports cars. You honestly believe that?
Yes.
Go look at his page.
The page doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. If you've driven all these crazy supercars, you don't think you would post it?
I'm part of the Euro Club.
I rode in one. Shut the fuck up.
Welcome back to another episode of Modify with Trick Factory Customs.
I hope that makes the final cut.
Oh, it will. Oh my goodness. If you didn't listen to our episode last week talking about if Porsches are overpriced and overrated.
The only people that
overrated
think that are the ones that can't afford it.
No.
Yes.
No, but I've driven quite a few of them, but I still think that some of them are overpriced for what they are.
Yeah, when you say some.
997s.
Why is it overpriced?
Because they used to be 20 something thousand.
Who sets the price? People that can afford them, not people that fucking can't.
Still, I'm still like,
that's the reality of the situation.
It's fine. That's not the topic we're talking about today. We talked about that last week. If this is your first time watching, my name is Elvis.
Tim.
Rob.
And on this episode, we are going to be discussing cheap depreciated luxury cars. Are they a great deal or not? We've had, or I feel like the past few weeks or months, I have been shown a great deal of those luxury cars. Like we've seen them, like cars that cost like $200,000 or $300,000 new, and you can buy them now for like $35,000. And so we're going to be discussing if that is a terrible idea or a great idea. Mm-hmm. With that said, what's been happening?
What's been going on?
Lots of projects have been moving around this week.
Yes.
Some have gone. The Porsche, the white 911.
Oh, the Targa.
That left. Yeah.
It left and got replaced with a black coupe SC.
That thing looks so good.
It's on BBS LMs. Mm. What else is there? We have a Dino in for some upholstery
work. Oh, yeah.
Testarossa for some paint work. DB4 for some paint repair, Bentley for some little bit of mechanical.
And that Bentley was also kind of what got me thinking about the topic. But I was just looking at the shops and I was like, oh shoot, these are all sick cars.
Yeah, it's a good week for automotive visuals.
Yes.
What have you been doing, Elvis?
Mm. Oh, you know, I've just been looking up what's it called, podcast guests, potential guests to have on.
Mm-hmm,
we just scheduled one that I think is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
He's your Nigerian brethren.
Yes. So we are very excited to chat with them.
They share a lot of personality traits.
So oh, my God.
We're going to have a lot of laughs. It's going to be a good episode.
Yeah, I don't know if we should reveal the name yet or we should just wait until the 18th. Okay, yeah. We're going to have Bisimoto on.
Yeah.
From Bisimoto. He's done a lot of cool builds, and so we were like, yeah, we should chat with him because we want to start talking with more people or more industry people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a lot of fun. I never met him in person, but looking forward to that episode. It's going to be going live probably in like 2 or 3 weeks. I think that's when we're having a conversation. So yeah,
you can anticipate that one at the end of March, I'd say.
Yep. And then, of course, G-Wagon video, Lambo video, And we plan to have this, the Euroho, our Lamborghini Urus Chevy Tahoe body swap done.
I don't think we're going to release any more Euroho content until the Euroho is
done.
Essentially finished.
Yes, which is pretty cool. And we're planning to have it finished by May.
May.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty cool. So a lot of big things have arrived. Lift
kits. Close as we can. It doesn't
lights, need
to be finished, but.
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun. But with that said, we're going to dive into the video. So, depreciated luxury cars. Actually, before we get started, we all know there's the common trend of like a car losing what, like how many percent when you drive it off the lot?
I think it's like 20%.
Yeah, that first day you drive it off the lot is lost 20%.
I don't think that applies as much as it once did.
Oh, really?
I'd say that's probably like 10 years ago. Now stuff's selling for over retail.
That's true.
Used cars are getting brand new value. They're trying to buy cars back. So I think right now is kind of unique.
But it's also changed too compared to like 2 or 3 years ago when things were in, the market was insane. Yeah. When people were paying like insane values for cars.
I think things are normalizing now.
Yeah, I think so. I think the market is kind of setting itself back, and some people are still thinking they can charge whatever they want for the cars, but...
You can see that it's not selling.
No, anymore. On all the auction sites, it's pretty interesting to see. But I feel like exotic cars, or not exotic, luxury cars, are a good deal, or used luxury cars are a good deal, because a lot of them depreciate a lot, like huge amounts. So one of them that I know, I drove it a while back, but it was a Bentley, not a Flying Spur. What's the big one? The biggest Bentley.
The Mulsanne.
Yeah. I drove that thing. It was like $375,000 US, wow, brand new. And at the time I drove it, it had dropped to like $120,000 or $130,000 in like 4 years.
Holy.
Or 5 years or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And even now, I'm sure it's probably a little bit cheaper. But so let's first talk about why different cars depreciate. Like, why is the depreciation of luxury cars different from other cars?
No, all cars depreciate. But luxury cars specifically, I think as the dealer support lessens, the price lessens.
Mm-hmm.
Because dealers don't want to touch any of that stuff after it's like 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah.
And 90% of those cars are leased. So as soon as they're off lease and they go, they just keep dropping. Like, look at the one that we're doing. It's a 2012 and they don't even want to take it in.
That's crazy.
And if they do, they want to do, like, I think I gave the example of like the GTC. Remember the GTC we did?
He took it in
because the trunk button wouldn't work.
Okay.
So they wouldn't diagnose it. They just wanted to replace all the trunk components.
Dang.
So it was $9,000. And it ended up just being the switch.
Oh my God.
Which is shared with like a bunch of Volkswagens and other stuff. It was $90. But it applies to everything. It was like his door switch was the same. Gosh. They wanted to do the entire door mechanism, which was like $6,000 or $8,000. His infotainment screen went out. They wanted like $12,000 for it. And it doesn't even have Bluetooth. It's crazy. So that kind of stuff, I think, is what kills it. Because a lot of these cars, like based on the dealers and the way they treat it, Bentley doesn't want you working on the cars, so they won't sell you parts. So they super gatekeep all the parts.
Okay.
And you're still buying like $200,000, like the parts you're buying the car for are still $200,000 car. And the parts are in relation to that price, not its depreciated price.
Mm-hmm.
So you get hammered on some stuff.
That's insane.
So like Mercedes isn't as bad. Bentley seems to be just completely terrible. Like the difference between like 06 to 12 are all the same. But a 06 is like $37,000 and a 12 is like $80,000.
That's insane to
me. But they're essentially the exact same car.
Wow.
And like, the parts are all interchangeable.
That blows my mind. Just the price differences between all, like Bentley is like one of the top ones for that, like you said. I feel like a lot of people see Bentleys and they're like, oh my gosh, it's a Bentley. This thing is sick.
Dude, it's crazy the way people perceive the Bentley.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I get to drive like tons of crazy cars. And you think like pulling up to a red light in a Ferrari, you're going to get all kinds of attention. Most people would just straight up want to snub you because they're like, fuck this guy. But you pull up in a Bentley and everybody wants to see who's driving it.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Like, oh yeah, it's a
Bentley. I'd be like, yeah, this thing is like a Camry. It's more expensive than this.
But I think it's because they don't radically change the body style.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like a Porsche.
Yes.
The perception is that it's still balling.
Mm.
But it's really not.
Yeah, because in the grand scheme of things, a new Bentley from 2024 still looks almost identical as the old one.
Yeah.
If you're not a car person.
Yeah, it looks the same.
They look exactly the same.
And most of their exposure to it is like the Kardashians and yep. these type of people.
And so what about build quality in these cars? Is it, because I feel like back in the day, you would be like, oh, this was made from lamb's wool, like that the lamb had been massaged for the past 10 years or something. Working on these cars, does it look like they actually are like handmade or like they're actually put as much time as they claim they did?
I would say the older stuff is. The newer stuff is good, but it shares all the similarities with other cars in the range.
Mm-hmm.
So like Audis, they're same. Like the Bentley's a little bit better, like just some of the fasteners and stuff used inside the car, but most of the parts are Audi parts.
Yeah.
Almost everything. But the build quality is like they'll use a little bit more robust clips. That's about it on the center console and like those heavy pieces. And yeah, beyond that, it's just a lot more sound in there. They're yeah. trying to make it quiet. But like the console is like an actual aluminum piece laminated with wood with super heavy sort of plugs.
That's pretty
sick. To hold it in. So, I mean, it's definitely better than a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a Rolls Royce is far more complicated than a Bentley.
So would you say a Rolls Royce is more higher end than a Bentley?
For sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
They're way better.
Really?
But you see older old Rolls is in like the 2012s, they're still like $200,000.
They're actually not that bad.
It's hard to find one under 100.
No, that's not true. So
depends how far back are we going?
So 2011, not that far back. I literally just before. I also thought they were like, oh, there are some that might be that price, but.
Those will be sedans. There's no coupes that cheap.
This is a coupe, a Rolls Royce Ghost.
For 100?
Hold on. So the MSRP of this Rolls-Royce Ghost was $245,000. And literally on cars.com, it is...
So this is a
four-door. Okay, it's a four-door.
It's a four-door.
$74,900.
Mileage on that bad boy.
Yo, look at that thing. So sick. Mileage, let's see.
Gotta be pretty high.
It's probably 81,000 miles. That's not bad.
That's high for a luxury car.
It's probably like a rental car or something random.
Probably a rental or
yeah.
Oh, Turo so or sick. Something.
But it looks good, though.
Find a two-door
coupe. Yo, 6.6 liter V12. That is, I think that is an amazing value. I know a coupe might be harder to find, but
look up a Wraith. See what a two-door Wraith is.
A Wraith, let's see. Wraith.
Or
Wraith.
Dawn.
But even $80,000, I mean, that seems like a good deal.
That's an amazing value.
I mean, the car looks amazing. I'd buy that.
That is an amazing value for 70-something thousand
Okay, US. So what is that, 2011?
2011 Ghost, yeah.
Let's look up a Bentley. 2011 Bentley. We'll check out the comparison.
It's going to be so bad. I'm guessing 2011 Bentley, 46,000 US.
Yeah, I think you're probably.
I'm going to guess.
I think it's 46,000 Canadian.
So a Flying Spur from 2006 is 27,000 US dollars.
Wow.
Like yeah, even the Continentals, like they're under $30,000 US.
2015, 94. 2010, 54, 2007, 39. That's dramatic. So the cost of ownership is like $30,000 a year.
That's crazy.
That's just depreciation. That's not even maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Anyone would love to own those cars, mm-hmm. but even checking on Marketplace now or whatever, or cars.com, there's like hundreds of them. And so I'm like—
And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why are they not owned?
Yeah.
They're all leased and returned.
Rob, if you were to have the choice of picking a depreciated luxury car, would you go for it?
Of course I would, but I'm not the smartest guy in the room either. I feel like a big part of the formula for why I would choose something like that is because I could probably work on it myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. I think that like I wouldn't be forced to go to the dealership and spend the $9,000 on the trunk mechanism in my Bentley, I would buy the $100, you know,
I'm with you there.
This little switch for it and fix it myself. And mm-hmm. and I can do that.
Yeah.
It may not be the funnest day in you know, but I could do that and it makes it worthwhile for me. I could get into a car was hundreds of thousands of dollars for fractions.
That's pretty insane.
You know, and like to me, I think it's worth it all day long. But if I wasn't able to work on it on my own, that's a hard sell.
Yeah.
That's a really hard sell. And I think that's why you see so many of them.
Crazy.
Like that's unbelievable. Like the gatekeeping at the at Bentley, like how they're making it just so unreasonable for somebody to own something like mm-hmm. that. Like that's not cool, man.
No.
Here's the outlier.
What?
2020 Rolls-Royce Wraith Black Badge.
Black Badge. Oh.
419. Here's another version, 2020, 389. So now we'll scroll to the older ones. 2014 Wraith two-door non-black badge, 210. Like, that's crazy. 2014, so, 215.
What?
So if you're going to buy a luxury car, the Wraith is the play.
So it's lost over $200,000 of value in, yeah, like...
Yeah, in comparison to a Bentley,
yeah,
this is a deal. Like, you're still in the 200s. You're not in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2015, 283. So you that's lost insane. 100 grand in, like, 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm. Like even the Cullinans too, like the Cullinans and the Bentaygas, like they're like,
Bentaygas, you got
a little bit over 100 grand now.
For a Bentayga.
Wow.
And they are what, 350?
Three now? Something brand new. So that is crazy. And so that was a good point that you talked about is the maintenance involved. That is probably the big picture or the massive all caps mm-hmm. thing that you need to be worried about. So what needs, like, are they difficult to fix?
They're much more labor intensive
mm-hmm.
just because of all the extra layers that are put into it.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that makes them what there is like little, like right now I'm doing a like a soft close switch in the door,
mm-hmm.
but everything has a courtesy light on it. Everything has its own sensor. All these things have to work together. So it's not just pop the door panel. It's like you pop the door panel.
There's 25
things you got to undo to do this one little thing that takes 2 minutes.
Mm.
And it's just a lot of layers. There's yeah. more fasteners, more layers, and it's not hard. It's just more. Mm-hmm. That's it. So yeah. it's like you grab your, you know, Honda, it's like pop, pull all the plastic clips, click the thing, you're done, 10 minutes. All you need is a, you know, 10 mil. And whereas this thing, I got like... Just in the one door, I had like 5 different sizes Torx out, panel poppers, all these random tools. Just like I'd have the damn toolbox out just to change this one thing. So it's not, it's just more. It's yeah. a lot more.
That's insane. You think about that, like 5 different Torx sizes in a door panel.
One door.
Buddy, yeah, make one it all one size. You drop the fucking the manufacturing price by a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah. And so that's interesting. Did they do that? Like, why do manufacturers do that though? Because I feel like they could just make it easy. Like, why don't they just make it serviceable?
Because they're trying to mitigate noise.
Oh, okay.
So, like, everything needs to be better, more mechanically. Like, you get all that weight. Like, that door panel, you take it off. It's got wood, and it's got leather. It's got all these different things. Metal door handles, metal trim. The thing weighs, like, 25 pounds. So you can't hang that off of tree plugs. It's a fallen ground.
Mm-hmm. Pretty crazy.
So it's pretty, yeah. And everything is so much more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that's what you're paying for.
Yeah, and like
you got a half inch of sound deadening. You got all this stuff that makes it what it is.
Yeah, but yeah, like you mentioned, like all those little layers and everything, it takes time to undo everything. So that kind of also explains why they cost more in general to fix. But also, you have like, I feel like we mentioned before, but like a Bentley tax or like luxury tax is always there for like if you're going to like big dealers
so
and
much
all
more
that.
Things though. So I don't necessarily think it's a tax. It's just like the door handle has got soft close, so you got all these other mechanisms. Like it's not just a door latch, it's got 5 other things attached to it, and it's like you pull this thing and it unlocks all these, and then it's got this oh, so much stuff.
It's so annoying.
But those are all the little convenience function features that make it what it is.
Luxury car.
That's true. Yeah, you just click the door and it just pulls it in.
So nice.
Like, you don't need soft close on your driver's door.
You don't really need it, but you want it.
I know, it's nice. Yeah.
And then that's one of those things. It's like, if you have it, very much like this gentleman, it has to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's like, unless you address these things as they come up, next thing you know, the thing is completely worthless.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Like, when one little thing happens, you need to deal with it now.
Yeah.
Because you let it compound and then the whole, you just give up.
It's garbage. Yeah. Garbage. The car turns to garbage. Yeah. And so that's also a good point too, but about compounding things, because I feel like there's one, like Maserati, for example. Oh gosh. So Maserati's a great, like, I think they make glorious cars. Their engines are amazing, all of that. But their engines are great, no? Yeah.
There's one common thing that I see on Marketplace all the time.
Yeah.
And it's Maserati engines up for grabs to turn into coffee tables. You don't see any Ferrari engines. You don't see, it's always Maserati engines.
But a Maserati is technically, a Maserati V8 is technically a Ferrari V8. Sort of. Yeah. They're built in the same factory. One is cross plane crank, one is flat plane crank. And there's a few other differences in the heads. But for the most part,
I think the reason they're up for grabs is because those cars have depreciated to the point that they're not worth fixing.
It's insane. Maseratis are so bad in depreciation. It's probably
a great motor in a Ferrari, and it makes sense to put 50 grand into your Ferrari because it still has resale, but 50 grand into an engine when your car's worth 23,000, that's probably why they get turned into coffee tables.
Yes. Yeah. And you see all those old Maseratis, oh my gosh, they look like great cars on the exterior, but like we said, like a lot of owners that were like, oh shoot, this thing is 30 grand, let me go get it now. They leave those things and they compound until you get a Maserati and you started and the check engine light. I don't think I've driven a Maserati that the check engine light wasn't on. And it's like so many little things, and it's little stupid things here and there. Oh, this lock stops working or that stops working. And then you check after 5 months, the whole thing is compounded and you have a whole page of things to do. But for the most part, yeah, I feel like that's what plagues Maseratis is. I feel like they are one of the worst at depreciation, because even Gran Turismos that are like, I want a Gran Turismo so bad, but they're like low 20,000s. And so that blows my mind. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to get one right now. But again, it's gonna have a check engine light almost regardless, which is insane. So out of all of those names, like, which one are you more likely to pick?
Bentley.
A Bentley? Okay.
The drivetrain platform is like tried and true. They've been using it forever.
Yeah.
As long as you take care of it, it'll last forever. Mm. And then most of the parts are Audi parts. So far I have not encountered anything that's crazy expensive. Other than like Bentley specific stuff, like interior trim pieces and the stuff that are like, it's like any car, anything like the Lamborghinis we do.
Yep.
Anything that's specifically Lamborghini, crazy. But all the switch gear, parts, mechanical, all that stuff is pretty much crossover from Audi. So it's not crazy expensive. And you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say if you're going to own one, you'd have to be super meticulous about your maintenance of the drivetrain. And then the rest of it, you can make it work.
So for the drivetrains, I don't know if you guys have messed with any like old Rolls or any of that,
no,
but
nope.
I'm curious to know what the reliability is like on one of those things. You'd mentioned Bentley, like that's a great reliable thing, but because it doesn't sound like a W12, like that sounds like a very complicated motor.
Yeah, but they got a lot of time into it. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty dialed.
Mm.
And you're not beating on them.
I guess so. Yeah. When you have a luxury car,
that's like, that's why you got to be careful with like performance luxury cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they fall down into that class where normal people, not normal people,
where they're more affordable,
it's those people tend to beat the shit out of them because they want them too. So like M5s, AMGs. Finding one that hasn't been beat to death and driven super hard is pretty hard. Whereas a Bentley, they're not the hype cars.
Yeah.
Like people aren't beating the shit out of them trying to do burnouts and drag race and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think they get the same amount of abuse as some of these other cars.
Yeah.
Like when I was buying my CLS 55, finding one that wasn't shit kicked was almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And they'd all been repaired for cash. So like Carfax, none of that shit helped because they're all like, you do a Carfax, it's got nothing. Brand new. You go there, every panel has been painted or touched up or repaired, and you're like, no.
Yeah. It's kind of like you've seen the meme of like the first like M3 owner is like this doctor.
Yeah.
And like the third owner is like this guy with like
vaping with yellow sunglasses.
Yeah, it is. That is so interesting. And so are Porsches the same? Because I feel like Porsches are considered luxury cars, right? Would you say, I guess, luxury performance?
I wouldn't say the 911s fall into that, but the Cayennes 100% do. Like you can get a Cayenne for like $3,000-$4,000, but it's got everything wrong with it, and it's just 90% of the time it's just been completely neglected.
Mm.
But they're good. But to find one with a clean history is pretty hard.
Yeah,
because they dropped to 20, and then those guys bought them. And then they just drive them into the ground, and then they're literally everywhere.
It's crazy. Like, they're so cheap. Like, Alex just got his Cayenne, and I'm like, for the price he paid for it, I'm like, wait, you got a Cayenne for that cheap? And I'm like, the Cayenne is a great car. We talked about it last week, but
if you take care of it.
It's like anything. It's like you have to take care of it, and it's a great, great car. But, like, for you to get it for that cheap, like, that blows, because you also have a Cayenne too, right?
Yeah, my wife drive ones.
Has it given you any problems?
No, but I mean, there was a lot
maintenance items,
unknown history that it lived through before I ever got in it. So there was a lot of like neglect. So I got mine for like dirt cheap, but then I ended up having to put a whole bunch of effort into making it, you know, a fully functional, reliable vehicle for the wife to drive.
Would you guys ever do something like that? Like buy a depreciated luxury car? Rolls? You said Bentley. You would consider owning a Bentley. Yeah,
I would love to own a Rolls.
Oh, Rolls!
But I like the 2-door Rolls.
Yeah, the 2-door Rolls are so good. The ghosts are not that big though.
Pretty big, man. Even this Bentley Flying Spur is a little bit too big.
It's not. It's tiny compared to a modern Camry. Like a Camry's bigger than that thing.
No way.
100% a Camry is bigger than that Rolls Royce. No, sorry, not Rolls Royce. The Bentley Flying Spur.
No way.
I'm willing to almost put
I was like, dude, you get in the back seat. It has power rear seats.
But I'm just.
I sat in it. There's a foot from my knees to the back of the front seat.
The
back door is this long.
It's not that big. I don't know.
It's big enough where you look at it and you automatically think that you need to have a personal driver to, like, you know,
chauffeur you around. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So what depreciated luxury car would you get if you could? Like, full on, like, Rolls, Bentley, what else? Maserati. Like an
S65. Big body Benz.
Yes.
That's a sick car.
S65. Yeah. So if you don't know what that is, it's a Mercedes, the top trim of the top trim of the Mercedes lineup.
Performance ones before you go into Maybach and stuff.
Like I think they had an NA V12s first, and then they had the twin turbo V12s. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I want one so bad. Like the startup on that thing is insane. Like the boom, like the way it just starts up.
Bentley sounds like that.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Yes.
That would be mine.
What Rob got any?
Years ago, we went to an auction. We went down to the auction in Scottsdale, and we saw a Maybach go across the block.
Oh, yeah.
It sold for like $35,000. It was like, oh my God.
This is a fucking
unreal car. I wish we'd had registered to bid that year.
Dang.
And I wish I had that much jing in my pocket because it would have come home that day.
Yeah, because those cars were almost like $500,000
that
bucks.
That particular car was like the first car that was sold to the public. Because up until that point, all Maybachs were supposed to be returned to the dealer.
Oh, really?
You could only lease them.
Own them. I didn't even know that. That's so insane. Maybachs.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful car. It was a beautiful car.
But it's based on an S65 too.
True. Mm. Mm. Yeah, Maybach is a good one. But there's some other car. So 7 Series, is that a luxury good? The V12.
See, I like BMWs, but I wouldn't choose a 7 Series.
No?
Nah.
It's not luxury enough?
It's just not enough.
Yeah, they're not super luxurious. Okay. No. It's like a big body car, but they're super junk. You can get them for like $7,000.
Audi A8?
Nah. Maybe an RS8.
Oh, yeah. I always forget they make... Do they make an RS8 still? Yeah. I didn't know they still made them. I thought they stopped making them like a few years ago, but...
Oh. I don't know if they still make them. Actually, but that was still a sick car.
But I... Yeah, that is sick. Okay. Is Lexus LS considered a luxury car?
Maybe. I don't know if it's in the same league as...
Yeah, no.
Bentley and...
Yeah, you're talking... Yeah, at least we're starting to get down in tiers, I think, a little bit. Like...
But what about... I don't know. Would you even call an Escalade luxury? I guess it's
supposed to be considered luxury. I would say the new one.
Yeah, that new one is sick. The previous ones were
overpriced,
Yeah, just like a GM, trucks, yeah, everything. You
know, leather interior kit and some plastic wood.
It's kind of like it wasn't until just recently that the Cadillac line sort of stepped up to the
new Cadillac, though.
They're you know, nice. Like the black wings and the new Escalade is a pretty nice vehicle.
Yeah.
But like every other generation was kind of just, they left a lot.
Like smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, yeah. It looks sick on the outside. Inside, it's all plastic. Some wood.
It's just not enough. I mean,
I think the best one was the Cat Eye one.
The Cat Eye one?
Yeah. What was that? Like, what generation is that? Geez, like mid-2000s, like 2007?
It was a cool looking one, though.
For sure. The original one was the worst one. That one was like just a blatant rebadge.
The boxy of the one? Tahoe. Yeah. But I really love, I want to drive a Escalade V so bad.
Yeah, see, now there's a departure from the regular Tahoe.
Things. Yeah.
Before, it was just a rebadged Tahoe. Now, there's like, you're getting something extra.
Yeah. So sick. The V. It sounds amazing. Have you guys seen the reviews of that car?
Yeah, it's super hard to get one, too.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like 700 horsepower?
Yeah. Same motor in the CTS-V. Oh, so sick.
I was just gonna say that we can just hope that they depreciate.
I know one day they'll be like $30,000.
Yes. But I can't imagine that. They're pretty significant.
Such vehicle. A cool car. I want one so bad. And then Porsche Panamera.
The new one's really nice.
Yeah, the new ones are really nice. The old ones ugly, like we mentioned in the last episode.
Yeah.
So
I don't think those are really luxury cars. Those are like sport touring.
Cars. Yeah. Okay, so for Uber luxury car, so like I mentioned, Rolls-Royce Ghost, at that price, 80, 70 Gs, is it worth it? No?
No, because that doesn't share enough parts. Like, okay, if you're going to buy one and maintain it yourself, a Bentley, because it shares so many parts with other platforms, makes it reasonable to own.
But that Rolls-Royce is a BMW 7 Series underneath, though. It's literally exactly the same car.
It has more Rolls-Royce specific things, though.
Oh, I see.
So as far as drivetrain, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like everything else there, I don't think it shares that much with anything.
Yeah.
Because I've looked up Rolls-Royce stuff and it's like Rolls-Royce only. Because the first thing I do is search a...
part number.
Search the part number off of a Bentley part, and it's like it was using a Volkswagen Phaeton. It was
Passat.
Like, oh, okay, cool. You find the cheapest one. Boom, $78.
That's insane. That is so cool. Like, I feel like owning a luxury car, that would be one of my favorite parts, is just parts hunting and seeing what part it came with, like the cheapest version of that part. Like, I just have fantasies of that. It's fun.
I would say, like, the Urus is... there's not much, any of the crossover parts, there's not very much upcharge.
What do you mean?
In the parts that cross over.
Like what? What?
Like say a control arm. It's the same one as an Audi RS8. If it's $150 for the RS8, it's $160 for the Urus.
Oh, okay.
But if you get the Lamborghini Urus fender that's specific to the Urus, it's like $6,000. But the RS8 one is like $1,200.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. So it's weird that they didn't take the opportunity to jack the shit out of the Lamborghini.
Yeah, everything
cars.
Else. Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe they've realized that they're like, oh, people know we're from Audi. Yeah, so, maybe.
Well, yeah. And they're stamped with the Volkswagen Audi.
Yeah, but like, you look at like
every single one of those too.
Except for like a few things like the intercoolers and stuff that are your specific. Yeah. And then they're like 10 times more money.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's also interesting. I just remembered on the Euro, I think the door hinge is from a Bentley. It literally says Bentley on the door hinge. I'm like, oh, shoot.
That's actually,
I was like, that is pretty sick. Okay. Yeah, I feel like the Volkswagen Group owns almost all of those luxury car brands now. It's
and they're
crazy.
Good at reusing stuff. Yes. So it makes it a little more reasonable. Mm-hmm. You can use crossover stuff.
So can you imagine the profits that those guys are getting from these cars. Because if you can reuse like 50%, not 50, like even like 20, 30%, and you don't have to make it for every individual car. Because back in the 80s and 90s, these cars, or like 70s, they were individual brands like Lamborghini, Fiat.
Ferrari has pretty much been owned by somebody since like the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
Early 70s.
Yeah. But it wasn't as bad as it is now. I feel like now there's like the larger conglomerates own almost every car brand. It's pretty crazy. So.
But I think there's less crossover stuff in Ferraris now. Mm. I would say the 80s was when it was the worst.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of Fiat parts, BMW stuff, generic Bosch stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's like Ferrari specific stuff. The craziest one is still Mercedes.
Why? How?
Because they make a lot of their own electronics. They make their own sensors. They make everything.
That's cool. I've always wanted a classic Rolls. Would you guys get classic of those cars? Like classic Rolls's or classic Bentleys? No?
No.
Oh my, come on. No. Really?
I think mechanically they're awesome, but the problems that you're going to have is going to be like electronics.
Mm, yeah. Because they're all Lucas wiring for the most part.
And then all those sensors and modules that are going to start going, once they're just going to be impossible to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're trying to keep it like on brand and keep it legit, like original kind of stuff. Good luck, man.
Yeah.
If you're totally open to the idea of going full custom with it, then by all means, for sure.
And I think that's the other side of it, is if you are trying to save money, you're going to have downtime.
Downtime, what is it? Oh, like the car just sitting and you're not driving it.
You get a lot of this stuff off of eBay and other parts places. There's lots of guys that'll buy up all the NOS stuff and then resell it, but everything's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's very true. Like they never seem to have anything that I need for these things.
Bro. From the other side of the world, it's like weeks away.
Come on. A Rolls-Royce Silver Dawn from 1951. Oh, no. It looks so cool.
That car looks like a marshmallow to me.
It does not look. I'm going to take a screenshot. It does not look like. Look at that. That is beautiful.
It's a sick car, dude. I just have zero desire to drive that.
Yeah. I love like old, like classic Rolls-Royces. That's like one that I'm like, like a white Rolls Royce from like the 50s. Oh, like a Silver Dawn.
I know where there's one sitting, but I'm not.
Oh, shoot. Come on, please. Please.
I would not do that to your family.
There's just something so awesome about seeing, I guess, one of those movies that I'm trying to remember the movie that the bad guy drove like a Rolls Royce, like a classic Rolls. And it has just been cemented in my head that is the ultimate definition of luxury. So, yeah, if I had to buy a Rolls Royce. It's been their
marketing since they started. So,
yeah.
I mean, it works.
Grey Poupon. Yeah. So, if I had to pick a Rolls Royce or something, not modern, definitely classic.
I would only drive a modern one. I have no desire.
You're not dealing with problems. Stuff. I don't want peace. I want problems. Yes. What about Astons? We forgot about Astons. What about Astons? Yo. Well,
they're more like GT cars, too. Like, there's only one Aston four-door, isn't there?
Yeah, the...
And didn't they come out with... They came out with a SUV, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They have the... I forgot what the freaking thing is called.
It doesn't look bad.
Yeah. I do like the four-door one. What was the name of that thing?
Rapide.
Yes. Yes. Rapide. I love... Out of all the four-doors of those type of cars that were ever done, the Aston looks the best. So much better than, for example, like the Porsche Panamera or any of those cars. But... Like, would you do an Aston over a... Would you do a Bentley over an Aston still?
Not based on appearances.
Yeah.
That car is so sick looking.
So sick
looking. But I know it's just going to be a junk.
It has a lot of parts from, like, Volvo and stuff. It doesn't look that bad.
It's a cool looking car.
Yeah. And what do they call it? The golden ratio and all that. The little slope. Oh.
Yeah, it's a beautiful car, but I just assume that it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I would take an Aston over the Bentley.
Because we've had a bunch of like DB9s through here. And it's just that they don't hold up. The bodies hold up, but the interiors just fall apart.
Yeah. Oh, so sad.
And when you get in, you don't feel, it doesn't feel rich.
It feels cheap. Oh. So are luxury cars a good bargain or no? Use luxury cars.
I don't think so.
No?
You got to be careful. You got to find one that's been well maintained. Because some stuff will just hammer you. Even my CLS, like the steering rack's like $8,000. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And that's like a maintenance item. That's not even, you know, like it's, so some stuff you're going to get hammered. You got to be pretty careful. And you got to be prepared to have some downtime.
Because you're doing,
you can do it and you can save money, but you got to find the deals.
Yeah.
You can't call a dealership. First of all, they won't help you anymore because no dealership wants to mess with you if your car is more than 5 years old, and they'll just rob you.
Like, so sad.
It is.
But in the perfect world,
if you want to take your time and you want to go on eBay and you want to source some parts, you can have a really nice car for cheap.
Yeah. I just make sure that it's not your only car.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And
that's
take very care true. Of it.
Yeah. Don't let stuff pile up and yeah, just wipe you out with hundreds or thousands of dollars in parts.
So most definitely you should buy.
Yes. I really want to.
Luxury
car. Oh.
But you need to be pretty mechanical. You need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just need to get one. I need to just put my money where my mouth is at and just send it. You just see me coming to work one day. I'm like, just yo.
Yeah.
I'll just sell all my project cars. I'll be like, I am done with this. I
feel like you should. Because then you would have these little projects that you need to do that would scratch your itch to take stuff apart. And then just make sure you put it back together.
Yeah. I'm going to think about it.
You should.
I'm going to think about
it. Imagine that driving to work in the morning S-Class.
That would be nice. Like a nice daily driver. It's just nice. You don't have to worry about the peasants on the side of the road. Oh, I'm just kidding. No.
You just floor it past them.
Yes.
See, I think that's why I never get upset. I drive my Mercedes. I got my coffee. Nice. It's nice and quiet in there.
Yeah. With that said, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for watching this video, listening to this podcast. The code
right there. I think we figured out why people have road rage.
Why?
Because they have shitty cars. You're in a that's Camry, a you're probably going to be mad.
Yes, that's very true. At the whole world.
The world.
Yeah, no AC. It's hot. It's, oh, my God.
Car's clunky. I hear all the road noise. Yeah. Shit.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Yes.
Get a good car.
Yeah, get a good car. Yes. See you guys next week. Bye.